You got to wait for that last part, that boom. Yeah. It's great to see everyone here. I hope you're enjoying our service. A lot of people have been asking me about the earthquakes in Burma or Myanmar and Thailand. And all our kids at our orphanages are safe. Everything's good. There's just a little bit of a, that's great. And I think it was worse in Burma. And of course, we're also helping a lot of the refugees in the northern Burma, northern Myanmar, who are actually have been in a civil war for a couple of decades. And so we're assisting them. And I don't know of any of them that we've had contact with have been injured, but I'll be talking to Tutu, our director, more on Wednesday. And so I might have more information. So that's what's happening there. And then here, today is a big Sunday for us. We've been talking about this campaign that we're doing, and it's kind of a family talk is the way we've been explaining it. And this is it. So we'll be off a bold move next week, and we'll be moving on to another series called So What? And we're excited about that. But I feel like I have to cover this again, and part of me is like, you know, I've already talked some about this for 3 weeks. It's the fourth week. But here's what happens. After week two, a friend of mine came up to me and said, who attends church regularly, said, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just have one question. What's the question? He goes, what's a bold move? And I'm like, what? You don't know that, you know? And then that was after week two. After week three, I was talking to another friend who had let me know that he was involved in EO3 and all that stuff. And he goes, so when is this going to happen? I'm like, well, it's this coming Sunday will be kind of the commitment day. And he's like, and what are we doing? We're building a building in Sandusky? No, that is not what we're doing. So I feel like, so if you'll just bear with me, that's just the people I happen to talk to that I ran into during the week. And so if I do this one more time, please bear with me if you're sitting there going, oh, man, I have this memorized now. You know, hang with me. So we just this month finished a capital campaign called EO3, which stood for Everyone on Three. This is ancient history now, you know, old history. And a capital campaign for us is people give to support our ministry, but then once in a while, usually at least a couple times a decade, we come along and say, hey, if you could do more over and above your normal giving, we could accomplish this. Well, for EO3, 3 years ago, what we said is, hey, if you could do more over and above your normal giving, we could accomplish three things. And all three campuses did the same three things sort of at their own campus. And that was make room, first of all, train leaders. What do we have first? No, children's space. We've got that first. So children's space. So all three campuses built some children's space, which we needed. Who needed that the worst was Tiffin. Because a lot of people are kind of wondering, well, why did we do that in Tiffin when we're trying to build this auditorium? Well, here's the reason. When we planned this 3.5 years ago, the biggest need in Tiffin, they were in two services, but their biggest need was children. At Tiffin, they didn't have that much children's space, and then they were using all the rooms, and they were teaching kids in hallways and using hallways. And these are not wide hallways like we have. These are narrow hallways that they were using as classrooms to teach kids. That was their biggest need. So all three of us, we did our own children's progress to make space. Another goal that we had was to train 20 leaders. And so we did that. The leaders get trained at all the campuses, but basically we're the ones that's kind of leading that effort. And then the third goal was that we would begin to launch a campus. And we were able to then, with that EO3 money, we bought a building that was only 14 years old of a church that had shrunk down to about 11 people, and they were getting ready to close, and we were able to purchase that from them. And since then, we've been working on it, which is very cool. Like here, just yesterday, there were like 20 of our men were over there at that building working, and that's been happening for a month. I think on Thursday, somebody told me there were a dozen people over there. And so God has made our investment in all three of those areas at all three campuses pay off. And so now we're undertaking an even bigger challenge that we're, E3's over, and now we're calling this Bold Move. And here's our three goals. And these are a little bit different for the different campuses. For our campus here, our goal is number one, to continue training young leaders. We need to do that because our church is growing and we are campusing and we have this constant need for leaders, and we want them to have our DNA where we are all about the Bible and trends can happen and that can change some things, but biblical truth never changes, and so we love training leaders. We also wanted to finish out that Sandusky launch. What that means is we had the money from EO3 to buy the building and do the heavy lifting on that, but now we're making these improvements. And then what we always do with a campus is for the first year and a half, Fremont carries their budget. And so we need to make sure that we have the funds to do that. And then the third thing, which is the main thing, is that we are now trying to build an auditorium for Tiffin. So here's what happened. 3.5 years ago when they decided, hey, our biggest issue is children's space, and we've got kids in hallways, this is not good, guests don't like it. And so we started building, but we always knew that when that was done, the next thing we would do was an auditorium. And we felt like when we get the children's space done, we'll then be able to go to 3 services, and that'll buy us some time to build an auditorium. But what happened is they grew so fast that we were only about a year into EO3. Before the children's part was even done, we had to go to 3 services. And so that's a problem. And so we've got some help with the children's area because that came along with 3 large classrooms. So it was a part of a phase. It was a little elaborate because that was part of our master plan of what we wanted there. And so now we've got to have this auditorium, but it's just a huge hurdle. It's just a big chunk. And so we are partnering with the Tiffin campus to make that happen. And it's expensive. But then one of the services, I was kind of putting the expensive part into context. So we are very connected to a church in Worcester, Ohio. And the reason that we're very connected is the lead pastor there is Nick Cleveland, who grew up here, and we helped train here at Grace. And their financial operations director is a guy named Jeff Walter, whose parents are back there. And Jeff also grew up in our church and was on our staff for a while, and we helped train. So 2 of these guys are leading this other church. So we have a lot of connections, you know, a lot of fun together. But that's a large, dynamic, growing church, about our size, a little bit smaller, but just right at our size. Well, they have this need, and they've had this need for a while, to build a, they want, their goal is to build a, because they're all, they have one campus, but they're all, most of their people are in one campus. They wanted to build a 1,200-seat auditorium, which would put them in multiple services anyway, even if they had that. And so a 1,200-seat auditorium and some other things to go along with that to make that work in their building. But the number on that was $17.5 million to build a 1,200-seat auditorium, the primary thing they're building there. They had a campaign last fall, and they raised $17.5 million over the next 3 years, and which is great. And not only that, they got half of that money. They already have it up front, which really helps you move a little faster. So cool stuff. So now when I tell you that, I don't feel so bad when I tell you that our project, that's for about a 1,000-seat auditorium. It started 888, now it's about 1,000. That is 8.5. So it's really almost like half price of that. And is that funny? We're getting a sale. It's a sale. It's a discount. So, you know, so, and we have always, as a church, and I hang around with pastors that I'm connected to, with other large churches, we really do things more cost efficiently than anybody I know. God has just blessed us that way. Like I said, a bunch of people are over there working on Tiffin. I'll give you an example of that. Like, we're working on Tiffin, And we'll be, you know, trying to drive this 8.5 down. But as we do that, know that prices are going up. So, you know, it's a real battle. But like over at Tiffin, you know, one of the things we knew, we tore a wall out. We're already getting ready for growth. I'm sorry, Sandusky. We went over there and we tore a wall out because we knew, boy, we're going to fill this up too fast, we think. So this is stuff we can do ourselves. So we just tore a wall out. Well, then that made us need, I mean, the building's only 14 years old, but then we needed new carpet. Carpet is expensive, and we like to do the square, so if something happens, we could pull the square up and replace it, and we have a long history with carpet. Here, you know, we did our carpet, and we built this building, and then people kept spilling coffee in our atrium, and so we had all these coffee stains that we were dealing with, and so we were always trying to clean it stuff. So finally, we said, okay, we need new carpet. We're going to get the square so we could just rip a square up, but then we're like, okay, but we don't want it to show coffee stains. So we got the ones that people like the best. We had like six different carpet squares. We laid them out in the auditorium, the atrium. And then I grabbed a cup of coffee. And I just poured coffee on each square and didn't mop it up. And I said, we'll come back tomorrow and we'll pick the one that we can't see the coffee on. That's exactly what we did. That's our carpet out there. So we have a long history on how we do carpet, but... So we're getting ready to do the carpet over there, and carpet's expensive by the square, and we were looking at, and then Luke, who's leading the campus, he finds a deal. He finds a sale. He finds a deal. And so he realizes that there's some carpet that's been pulled out of a huge apartment complex, a huge building, and this carpet's like a year old. I don't even know if I should be telling you this, because people will be walking in going, oh, yeah. But, yeah, and by the way, guys, men, I don't want any of you pouring coffee out in our atrium so you could come back next Sunday and see. I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, so he finds this deal, this used carpet, and instead of like $5 a square, it's 50 cents a square. So he wants to see it. So, and they show him, and it's like, yeah, this would be great. And he talks to our carpet expert, you know, that attends our church, and Ken, and we're figuring all this out. And so then he shows it, and then, so they're making this deal. He has a check, and he's going to buy more than he needs just to make sure. But he wants to inspect the lot. So he shows up at this warehouse somewhere in Toledo, and there's just one guy there, this warehouse guy. And then he looks at Luke. You know, Luke's coming in. He's all trendy. He's young, and the guy's like, yeah, boy. And they start talking. He's like, well, I need to look at the whole, I want to see the whole lot that we're buying. It's on pallets stacked up on this rack. And so the guy calls his boss and he says, hey, this guy's here for this carpet. He wants to look at it. He's already seen a sample, but he wants to see, you know, all of it. And the boss is like, well, yeah, it's up on that thing. And the guy goes, hey, well, I don't know how to run a forklift. I can't get that down. And Luke says, I'll run the forklift. And Luke jumps in the forklift, basically before the conversation was over, grabs the carpet, puts it down, inspects it, and says, deal's done. And so I'm just saying that this is the way we approach everything. It's how we do our tech, everything else. We're always looking for cheaper, more efficient ways to do stuff. Don't tell everybody about the used carpet. It'll just take the shine off of the whole new building thing. So we're doing that. We're trying to build this building in Tiffin, same way, cutting the cost. Actually, Tom has taught us a lot about cutting costs where we can peel stuff out. You know, you have a building and here's the cost. Well, you can pull out the carpet, pull out the chairs, pull stuff that you're going to do a lot of that work anyway, and then you don't have the overhead or the profit on that. We've learned all that stuff. It's not our first rodeo. We've been around for, you know, we've been doing stuff like this for 30 years, and so we're figuring all that. So, but it's a bold move. It's bold. But with bold action, God's going to allow us to accomplish this. So, just to make sure on this, bold move is now the name of what used to be Growing with Grace, what used to be EO3. If you keep giving to EO3, that will be bold move from now, from today forward. And by the way, if you're like, hey, I can't do any more that I'm giving, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if what you're doing is EO3 and so you've been given some money to EO3 and you plan on continuing that, you should put that down as a commitment for bold move. That's part of your, or if you're doing EO3 and you're doing more, then You need to combine them to put them down for your card. That will help us plan. Does that make sense? Are we on the same page? Because I know I'm going to get a question this week. And somebody's going to say something like, did you say something about a card? You know, it'll be something. And I'll be like, yeah, the yellow thing that was in your bulletin. Whatever. All right, so we're working on this. And if you're new here, this is why we struggle talking about giving. Jesus talked about it all the time. 40% of his parables about giving. But sometimes we shy away, and a lot of it's because we're always reaching new people, so we always have new people sitting in our congregations, our three campuses of our one church. And then, you know, then they're going to get this impression, oh, these guys always talk about money, which we talk about money, yeah, maybe, you know, probably average about one time a year, but it happens. Not as much as Jesus. We probably ought to do that more, but it's just awkward because of our culture today. So if you're new here, we're not talking to you. We don't want anything from you. We don't want any money from you. We want you. We just want to point you to Jesus. That's what we want to do. But if Grace is your church home, this is exciting. Whether you can help a little or a lot, this is exciting. This is our time. Jesus has passed the baton to us. Jesus passed the baton to his disciples. Then the disciples, you know, to Paul, and then Paul to the first century churches, and then down through the centuries. Now it's our baton. Now it's our time. Now it's us. And we want to be faithful with what God has given us, because this is happening on our watch. We want to see people change their lives. And this is part of it, making space. And what we're doing basically is we know that we want to make space for others because we're sitting here and somebody made space for us. And if you were here before we built this, well, somebody made space for us over there. This is what we do. We make space for people we don't know yet to come and learn about Jesus. That's the point. That's what we're doing. That's the pitch. That's the thing. Now, why Bold Move? Why a giving campaign? Well, as I said, it's over and above what you're currently giving, with the exception of EO3. That would be Bold Move. And it's to make space. Why? Because we do everything we can to reach as many as we can. We are trying to do everything we can to reach as many as we can. And why do we want to reach as many as we can? Well, first of all, as we said in the very first week, that's what God wants us to do. That's the great commission Jesus gave us. That's the commission Jesus gave, you know, before his ascension. I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing. That's what God has called us to. And we also know that we want to do this because heaven rejoices, God rejoices over one sinner who repents. So really, we're doing it for the one. We're just hoping there's a whole bunch of ones. And we're excited to reach people, sinners, just like us, who are could be saved by grace, just like we were. And so Jesus spoke to this a little bit. One time he was heading on his way to Jerusalem, where he would spend the last week of his ministry. And he was actually being criticized for something. He told a parable. He told a parable in response to that. And Jesus used parables a lot. And a parable is a short story that conveys a profound truth. And the one I'm going to look at today, actually I'll look at a couple, but the one I'm going to look at first is in Luke chapter 15. And it starts in verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him, that's Jesus, to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. They didn't like it. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He brings him back. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you, Jesus is saying, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then he tells two more stories, but that say basically the same thing. But it's, don't miss the profoundness of what's saying. Don't miss this amazing fact. Heaven, God rejoices over one sinner who repents. When one person, you and me, or somebody here that it hasn't happened to yet, when you turn to God and repent, putting your faith in Jesus, God of the universe rejoices. And that's what we're all about. We've shared testimonies, you know, displaying some of that, you know, just, these are just a few representative kind of stories of what's happening with people every day, every week in our church. And that's so important that we really try to measure it. We keep statistics to try to measure our effectiveness. It's not like, hey, look at us. It's really just like, hey, is this working? Is it not? Are we increasing? Are we decreasing? Because we don't want to end up and being kind of in decline like some churches that's happened to. So, and we see these of what's happened here where, like, regarding salvations, over 1,700 people in the last 5 years have said to us that they have come to Christ. And so we have a bunch of examples. I want to share you what, just we'll do one more example of that. Here's Rush.
I believe we all have formative moments that shape who we are. For me, some of those moments include losing my mother during childhood, suffering from an autoimmune disorder that resulted in total hair loss, and struggling with my identity, finding hope, and ultimately feeling worthless. In the summer of 2023, one of my friend's brothers had told me about Jesus, and this was the first time in my life that my attention was really grabbed. We were on the way back home from paintballing, and he had given me the gospel for the first time, and that I had recalled hearing it. At that time in my life, I was in desperate need of a savior, a redeemer, and someone to provide me new life. It seems Jesus had to offer all that I was in need of. I started attending Grace on Sundays with my grandparents and going to their house for Bible studies every Tuesday. I started to read scripture. I started to become a little more knowledgeable on the word, and it was that clash between what I had thought was right my entire life and now what God is telling me is right, and God showing me his way, his character, his teachings through his word. And as a result of that, I knew I had a decision to make. Deciding on Jesus really just shows that you have come into recognition that we're all sinful in nature and that we are indeed in need of a savior. And I came to that realization in January of 2024, and alone in my apartment, on my hands and knees, I gave my life to the Lord. I was then baptized and became a member here at Grace. Giving my life to Jesus was the greatest decision I have ever made. He has given me peace, purpose, and fulfillment that I once thought was unattainable. I no longer rely on myself or others to determine my worth. Instead, I trust who God says I am. In Christ, I have been made a new creation with the old gone. Along with this new identity, I began serving on Wednesday nights here at Grace for our few student ministries. I really enjoy serving our area kids, sharing moments with them, playing basketball, getting to know them really, and ultimately pointing them back to Jesus. As a result of getting to know the students and leaders and coming into relation with a lot of the pastors here, it's really led me into considering ministry as a career path, and I'm super excited for that. I'm excited to give back what God has given to me, and it fuses the two greatest desires of my heart, that being the love of God and the love of others. I'm incredibly grateful to Grace for all the opportunities they've provided me and the relationships I've found here. Just being led in the spirit and in truth to others, to love others, and to have an ultimate hope that is only found in Jesus.
By the way, we talk about training leaders. Rush is our newest full-time resident. Isn't that cool? So he's with us, and we're excited about him. Just a great, great young man. We're doing whatever we can to reach as many as we can and then help people once they've come to be believers to grow, to follow the Lord, you know, after they become a believer in believer's baptism. I remember I was sitting in my office just, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, and I was looking at our order of service, and I really like this song, Can't Steal My Joy, and I said, I'm going to listen to that. And, you know, sometimes I do that to see if there's something I want to pull out of there. And so I knew the fastest way for me to find that song was just to go to YouTube, Ohio Grace, baptisms, because we used that for our last baptism. Anybody remember that? So I went that, and then I started getting all pumped up because I'm watching the baptisms. And then the way you two did it, so then I'm kind of back to work, and then the next baptism video came up from Grace. And then after that, the next baptism video. You talk about a good time. You talk about getting pumped up for ministry. Just watch YouTube, the whole string of baptism videos that have happened at all three of our campuses, soon to be four, just cool stuff. God in heaven celebrates over one sinner who repents, comes to Christ, and then later that person submits himself to believer's baptism. Just cool stuff. We care about what God cares about. That's what we want to do, is we boldly preach and boldly reach people for him. So how do we do it? What's Scripture say? Well, if we should be all about the one, if we should be reaching out, we should be going out after the one lost sheep, well, how do we do that? Well, he used another parable to explain that. We use earthly resources for eternal purposes. Now, this next parable that happens a little bit later in Luke is one of the most confusing parables, but it has a profound message. So it's confusing because this parable does not sound right to us, but it's from Jesus, so we know it's right, and there's something in there that we all need to get. It's in the next chapter, Luke 16, and it begins also in verse 1. So Jesus talking to his disciples. Now he is also saying to the disciples, parable. There was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said, "What's this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager." He's fired. That's what's happening here. "Get your stuff together. Tell me where we're at financially. You're fired." Verse 3. The manager said to himself, "Well, what should I do? My master has taken the management away from me. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I'm removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes." And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, "Well, 100 measures of oil." And he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. Do you see what's happening here? The guy is ripping off his master, cutting down everybody's bill because he's in charge of that, so they all owe him a favor when he's fired. But the loser here is the master. So now here's the interesting part of the parable. So far, kind of interesting. Here's the twist. Verse 8. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. And then this is the kicker. Jesus says, "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light." Who are the sons of light? All of us who are believers here. The unbelievers are more shrewd than believers, is what he's saying. That's us. And Jesus is not commending that this manager is ripping off the boss. That's wrong. The Bible tells us that's wrong. Over and over, we know that's wrong. He's saying something else. He's saying the unfaithful manager used what limited time and resources to secure a future. It's the only time in a parable that that I know of that Jesus is saying, hey, in this one little area, you need to be more like the world. How many times have you heard that? That's different. So Jesus commends the principle. Use worldly wealth to make an eternal impact. And there's more to make us think because Jesus continues teaching. Next verse, verse 9. So now parable's over, and now here's the punchline. Here's the conclusion. Jesus says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of wealth, of the wealth of unrighteousness, just saying money, so that when it fails, and money always fails, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwellings, into the eternal dwellings. Do you see what's being said here? Use your money to impact the lost. Make friends with them. But it's not just make friends. It's making friends by pointing them to the kingdom. Do whatever. Use your money to point people to the kingdom. And how do I know that? Because then they're in eternity. They're in heaven. And then when you go to heaven, they, those people you impacted, will receive you. Welcome to heaven. Eternal dwellings. Think about that. Can you imagine, because of your gift, and I'm not just talking about Bold Move, but any gift to Grace, anything you're doing, you're just general giving, whatever. Can you imagine somebody walking up to you in heaven and saying, thank you, because of your gift, because of your sacrifice, I'm here in heaven. God used that to impact me. That's heavy. That hit me heavier this week as I was studying through this than ever before. Because of your investment to reach me, I heard and believed the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying. It's going to happen. And that's why we're intentional to reach as many people we can. That's why we're intentional to also focus on next gen. That's why we do children's players. If we don't focus on the next generation, your church will die. You'll lose your impact. That's why we do Fuse. We do our student ministries. That's why we do young adults and college ministries. That's why we're doing all that. It's our job to engage with each culture in an unchanging world. So a lot of things we do, we're keeping up with the culture, except for this, right? God's word doesn't change. But the other things, we want to be relevant so we can give them this and they will hear it, because this doesn't change. This is what they need. It's what we all need. We use temporary treasure to advance eternal purposes. And we want to win as many as we can by using our resources. That's how we do it. And then the why is just, hey, we give to worship God and fuel his work. Giving is part of our worship to God. I've said this before. We think of worship mainly as singing. Singing praises to God, that's worship. But worship is how we live and honor him. Worship is how we give back to him a portion of what he's blessed us with. So during Jesus' last week of ministry, I'm going to share one more passage. It's not a parable. It's just an event. It's Jesus' last week in ministry. Now he's in Jerusalem, and it's Tuesday, and he's in the temple. It's the last day that Jesus is in the temple, and he's there teaching, and his disciples are at the temple with him, and they're sitting near the temple treasury. The temple treasury is kind of in the courtyard, actually the court of women, which just means only Jewish people could be there, but they're in this courtyard. There's like 13 receptacle boxes to put your tithe, your offerings in. And they're sitting across from there and they're noticing. And then Jesus notices one gift from a humble, poor widow. Mark 12:41. Talking about Jesus. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amounts to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, she put in all she owned, all she had to live on. And so Jesus here is kind of noticing not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice behind it. And this lady has world-class generosity, world-class faith. Two small, I did some math, this is just the way I think. You know, what is that? That's a lepta, two of those, smallest copper coin. It basically turns out that's 1/64 of a day's wage. So, you know, if a laborer makes $16 an hour, this is two coins is a dollar each, $2. So a little bit of money maybe to buy your last morsel of food, a little bit of food. And she goes down, you know, in history. What do you think happened to the widow? She gave her last. That was it. She didn't have anything else. You think 3 days later she was curled up in some corner of the courtyard, had died of starvation? We don't know. I don't think that happened. What we know is that 3 days later, Jesus died on the cross to pay for her sins because she loved and honored God. And whenever she died, that week or 10 years later, whenever it was, she was welcomed into heaven because her gift showed her love for God. God uses all types of gifts to accomplish big things. I've got one more video that I want to show you before I close out. And this is John and Karen Sutton.
This is my wife, Karen. We've been attending Grace for about 37 years.
It was 1988.
Well, we went there. Church was about, what, 250, maybe 300?
It was in the 300s.
Yeah. And it was starting to grow. I think maybe important or anything is not what has changed, but it's what has not changed, because we went and we kept hearing this phrase about the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and our church has held to that. And the message that we present is the same as it was 37 years ago.
John and I, early in our marriage, started committing so much of our finances to the Lord each week. And once, you know, we didn't have a lot of money then, but we did that, and the money was always there to give. And we had enough money for our family, and we could even save a little money. And so God provided when we gave to Him. It was exciting to see people come to church, people that we'd known in the community, and they were now followers of Christ, and their lives had changed.
And our church is obviously thriving and being attractive to, especially I think, the younger people. A lot of churches have stopped growing, and they just kind of hold on to what they've got, and you can't do that. You've got to reach out and strive to reach others, and that's what we've been trying to do, I think, most of the time that I've been an elder all these years.
When we went down to Tiffin, we went down to observe and soon found ourselves getting involved in the ministry and with people.
We thought we'd be there a few weeks. That has been over 5 years now. We're still seeing that church being stretched, and we're feeling that we're kind of part of that. We're starting this Sandusky campus, and it's very exciting. Among other things, I can't wait for it to get started, because I think it's going to go like the Tiffin campus did. There's people. Down at Tiffin, for example, I will sit between services and just be amazed at the people coming and going, and I would think, where would these people be if we hadn't just come down to make the church. And I think the same thing is going to be true in Sandusky. There's going to be people find their way there that probably wouldn't find their way any other way.
I would hope, as years go by, the churches that we start and the ones that already exist will continue to follow Christ's word.
As we do these things, we're not doing them to just increase numbers, or we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the person in the seat next to us that isn't there yet. I think we as a church have to do is stay true to God's word and not put limits on Him and let Him direct where we go.
We're showing you these videos, and we're talking about this topic because we want you to get what we're doing, understand why we're doing it, all that. It's not to pressure you. It's not to compel you to do something you don't want to give. We want you to give whatever you want to give joyfully. And you should give joyfully, because whether you're doing Bold Move or not, if you're giving anything into our church, you could think about it this way. What else can you do with your money that will matter 100 years from now? You know, it's that. What else you can do, can you do with your money that you could go to heaven one day and somebody could come up to you and say, because of your investment, I heard the gospel and I responded. We want to do this together. We're going to close out a little different. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to invite people. Again, we're not doing this to pressure anybody. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. We just thought, oh, this will be different. It'll be kind of cool. So during the next song, Lead On, Good Shepherd, we thought, well, just during the song, we'll have people come down and put their commitment cards into these boxes. There's another one out at the information table, I think, and there's also one over in the family church, if you're over there in the back of the room. And we intended it to be joyful. I mean, you could fold a blank card over and bring it up if you want. I mean, if you're feeling pressure, we're not doing it by row or anything, you know. We just want you to do what you think God wants you to do and be joyful about it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. And for those of us who are believers, Lord, we just thank you for your indescribable gift, unearnable, all grace. God, thank you. And Lord, for our friends and family members and people we know in our community, coworkers who don't know you yet, may even be sitting in here right now. Father, we pray that you just help them through your spirit to see through all this. Hey, yeah, we're trying to get some money to build a building. You'd see through all that. And they would be able to get the gospel that you love them, that you came to die for them. Even though they're sinners like the rest of us, they can be saved by faith in you and your Son. God, impact people. Use us for your purposes. Lord, thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. As we sing, we'd like you to come up, grab your card that hopefully you've gotten ready. There's one right here in the middle, and or these ones on the side, and just drop it in if you'd like to. Thanks for being here at Grace.